Welcome to the Watoto Church podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Now, my message really is what happens at the great white throne, or what happens at the final judgment. That is going to be the very heart of my message today. But that judgment is sandwiched in between the end of the millennium and the new heavens and the new earth. So let me first just back up a little bit and just talk about the end of the millennium. What happens at the end of the millennium, okay? So that's something I want to talk about. At the end of the millennium, a couple of things take place, and for us to appreciate the message today in your Bible on the screen that goes up, let's go to Revelation chapter 20 reads this. I'll start at verse 7. Really, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. Verse 3 tells us, after 1,000 years, Satan must be released for a little while. And I can imagine some questions already, but why does he have to be released? Verse 8 then says, and he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to a battle whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven, from God, out of heaven, and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So I want to talk about what happens at the end of the millennium, because right there then ushers us into the great white throne. What happens at the end of the millennium? Okay, verse 7 tells us here, at the end of 1,000 years, what happens? Satan will be released. Remember, he was bound for 1,000 years and cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He's released from that prison. He comes back and he goes out again to deceive the nations one more time. Now, we do not know how long the period is, but the Bible says he must be released for a short time. I don't know how short that is, but I can imagine at the end of 1,000 years, maybe it's the last, 6 months or the last 1 year. I have no clue, but we know it's going to be a very short time for him to come back and deceive the enemies. Now, if you remember, or if you don't remember, there will be a people that we are ruling over in the 1,000 years, okay? For clarity on that, Zechariah 14:16 tells us, and that all those who survive the great war of Armageddon will be required to go to Jerusalem every year to worship the King Jesus. So they're going to be survivors from the battle of Armageddon. Now, whether those are, I don't know whether they are believers who made it through or not, those things I will not get into them. What I know is that they will be survivors. And there will be mortal beings. There will be human beings like you and I. What that also means is that because they are mortal, they can reproduce. And so over 1,000 years, guess what? There's a whole breed of people that have not known who Satan is. True? Over 1,000 years. And now, you may ask me why. Now, there are things that are hard to answer. Let me confess. Like Moses said in Deuteronomy 29, he says, you know, the things that are revealed to us are for us. The things that are not revealed to us not for us. But we will attempt because of what Scripture says in many places. One of the key things I believe why the enemy is released in this time is once again to prove how wicked man's heart is. Correct? Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart of man is desperately what? Wicked. Imagine being ruled by Jesus for 1,000 years. So just one more time, let me let this guy out. And proves the wickedness of men. It was actually in Genesis 6 where the Lord said that the wickedness of men has increased and man's heart is consistently inclined towards evil. So when he releases Satan, I believe is to test men again to see if really they now believe that this guy is. And it's interesting that he actually deceives the nations. Hallelujah. And they rally against God. Actually, if you even read Psalm 2, Psalm 2 is really a very prophetic psalm speaking right into this particular area, that the nations rally against the king, but God in heaven laughs at them and destroys them. And when you come and read this, it says it right there in verse 9, that Satan went around deceiving and went to the breadths of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now finally, God has dealt with every form of rebellion. This is the last rebellion in the Bible. It's very interesting that in Isaiah, we are actually told that Satan, or not Satan, Lucifer, decided to ascend and fight God and become God. And he's trying to do that again at the very end to bring down Jesus. But the victory belongs to who? To Jesus. At the end of the millennium, Satan is released for a moment. Now, whereas we don't see this written in Scripture entirely explicitly, from deducing and deducting what we see in the texts, at the end of the day, it's to judge the hearts of men and to once again display the wickedness of men. That's what we see in that area of the millennium, at the end of the millennium. Now, right after the end of the millennium, the Bible tells me in verse 10, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. So the final judgment of the devil takes place after that last rebellion. The final judgment. Let me say this to you guys, and not to freak you out. Satan is not in hell right now. The time is coming for him to be bound and thrown where? To hell. Into the lake of fire. So at the end of those 1,000 years, he's finally conquered, thrown, dealt away with forever until forever has no end. So at the end of the millennium, he's released a bit, he deceives. There's a final rebellion, a final revolt against the Lordship of Jesus. And that is the last revolt that ever happens. Now all men are obliterated. All the unrighteous are dealt with, are destroyed in that season. And then opens verse 11. And I want to go to the great white throne. What happens in that day on the great white throne? Then I saw a great white throne, and on him and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. Now, a couple of thoughts for you to think about. When this judgment is taking place, from a bit of reading and everything, and just even looking at this, is that this judgment is not happening on earth. Are we together? It's not happening on earth. The great white throne cannot be here. Why? Because the Bible tells me so clearly here that he who sat on it, rather the earth and heaven, fled away from his presence. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us that the earth and the heavens will be dissolved in fire. So God has judged Satan and the demons and all those guys who did what they did on earth. Now, he's also destroyed the very place where evil resided. So, from what I can tell you, is that this great white throne is not here. It's somewhere. I think like in the galaxy, somewhere up those ends, somewhere in deep heaven, perhaps. In deep heaven, somewhere in the heavens of the heavens. Hallelujah. So this judgment is not amongst men or on the earth. It's somewhere out there. Okay? Great white throne. What happens at the great white throne? That's what we think it is. That's what I see it is, and I believe it is. And then it says this. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. At the great white throne, every man or woman that ever lived will be present. Every unrighteous man or woman that ever lived will stand before God. And it says this, small and what? Great. That means no matter your status here today, before God, you'll be the same. Whether you are the greatest religious guy or the greatest politician, the richest man in the world, whatever your status is, whether you're the poorest of the poorest, whether you've never been an LC1, whatever status you have here today will not matter before the great white throne. And the great white throne is for everyone that is dead without Jesus. So the theory that we can buy ourselves into heaven, and because we are so important, God will give you first place. The believers already went up, caught up in the rapture. The first resurrection took place the other week. Now this is the second resurrection. Okay, not last week literally, but you know what I mean. We talked about that last week. This now is the second resurrection. It says, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. So there is a book called the book of life, and then there are other books. We'll talk about that just in a very short while. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to their works. Let me put it this way. Have you ever asked yourself the question, those who are eaten by sharks, where will they? You've asked yourself that question before? The Bible says, and the sea gave up the dead. So they were eaten by the shark, no problem. They died in the seas, no problem. They will come back to what? The seas will give up. Now, those who are eaten or cremated, God has a way he will do it. I can't speak for God. But I know that they will all come back to life. Then death, those buried in the ground here in Africa, around the world, those who are dead and in the ground, then death, the place where people are, this thing called death, will also give up all those it has. Then Hades, the place where there is torment of those who are awaiting the final judgment, will also give up all that it has. So people from every part of the world, wherever they have died, will come back to life. Every unrighteous person will be resurrected at the second resurrection. Every unrighteous person will be resurrected here. And this is everyone from the time God created Adam to the last revolution, not revolution, to the last revolt, to the last rebellion that took place. So the great white throne is happening somewhere in deep heaven, and everyone from the creation of the world to this very day that did not to this very day, to the end of the millennium, who'd never lived a righteous life, will be brought back to life. The great white throne is a judgment of the unrighteous dead. That's what it is. It's a judgment of the unrighteous dead. By the way, who is the judge on this day? Who is the judge? Jesus. He's the one who sits on the throne. In John chapter 5, he actually tells the guys, look, my Father judges no one. He has committed all judgment to the Son. Jesus is going to come back and judge men because he laid down his life. that you might have salvation. He will be the one to judge. Scripture even tells us in Jude chapter 6 that saints will judge angels. Paul tells us, telling the Corinthians church, that we too will judge the dead. We will judge the angels. I mean, it's just going to be a beautiful day. Jesus is the chief judge. But the saints who rule with him are also going to be judges, magistrates. Hallelujah. If you've never had law here, don't worry. Then it will be clear. Praise God. But then listen to a few other things here. So listen to what takes place at the great white throne. Jesus is the judge. This is happening somewhere in deep heaven. The earth has already been destroyed and been absolved in this season here. Okay? We know that those who are going to be judged are all the dead and righteous from the days of Adam to the last rebellion at the end of the millennium. But what happens? What are the events taking place in there? The Bible says this. Verse 12. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. It is time for accountability. Books were opened, and there was another book, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works. It kind of feels like it's going to be a time to apportion you the weight of your punishment. It kind of feels like it's going to be a time to apportion think about this. Think about this. In our legal system, they have to bring evidence against someone before they are actually what? Sentenced. Now, God is just. Before he sentences these people to their final place of damnation, he will bring out the records of their life and say, I have evidence against you. This is what you did when you were alive. The other day you cursed, the other day you abused, the other day you raped, the other day you did this, the other day you did that, and it's going to be this whole accountability. That is why it is very critical for us to watch what we do while in the body. You see, Hebrews 9 and 27 says this, it is appointed for man to die once and then be judged. Believers were already received their judgment, their rewards when Christ took them up. Now it is time for the unbelievers to receive their judgment. And their judgment is actually a penalty, is a punishment. And it's taking place right here. But something else is said here that must catch your attention, which really is the most important thing. It says this in verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I think that is what you need to pay attention to on top of the works that you have. If your name is not written in the book of life, God's final place is the place called the lake of fire, which is the second death. Man, when I think about this, it's crazy. So irrespective of the weight of your punishment, you still end up where? In the lake of fire. Wow. And the lake of fire is exactly the same place where the devil, the false prophet, and the beast, and all demons, and all demons and fallen angels are thrown. You do not want to be in the same place as those guys. We have the option to escape that today. Hallelujah. We have the option to escape that today. It's tight. This is really tight. How do you get into the book of life? Well, I decided to go all through from Genesis to Revelation. There's only one thing that comes up. Everyone considered righteous is everyone who put their faith in God. Everyone who believes in God as God and lives for God. Everyone who puts their faith in Jesus and trusts Him every single day. Those are the ones that are found in the book of life. I just thought about this. I said, let me even go into the Old Testament where maybe we don't see people putting their faith in Jesus, the person of Jesus. Let me just look through. Noah was considered a righteous man. And the Bible says he walked with God. Enoch was a righteous man. He walked with God and he was not. God took him up. The very first rapture, Genesis chapter 5. God took him up. Enosh, in Genesis chapter 4, tells us that in those days, men began to call on the name of God. Job, all those people had faith in God. Abraham believed God and was credited to him as what? Righteousness. It is faith in Jesus. It's those who have faith in God. Let me, Old Testament people was in God. For us, when we talk about it, we talk about Jesus, who is also God. At the end of the day, to get into the book of life, you must have faith in Jesus. There's no two ways about it. There's no two ways about it. And you can escape that second death today. Hallelujah. Because guess what else is thrown into hell, into fire? Verse 14, death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. They were all thrown into that place. You know, as we're thinking this through, why is it so important for you to know about this judgment? Why is it important for you to be aware of the great white throne judgment? Let me just give you a couple of thoughts here. One, it satisfies our need for justice in this world. What does that mean? Romans 12 actually tells us that God has reserved revenge for Himself. So even the injustices that we see today, and men are abusing men are abusing the works of God, there is coming a time when they will be judged. May they get saved before that time. But if they don't, God's justice is going to fall on them. And our need for justice will be satisfied. But the other thing that it needs to help you recognize is this. There's no need to hold unforgiveness. There's no need to have bitterness. Why? Because there's coming a day where the Lord Himself will do what? Revenge. He will revenge. He will take up justice in His hand and He will deal with them righteously. Hallelujah. But I hope it also motivates you and I to preach the gospel. I really hope it does. It needs to motivate us because you know what? We have relatives. We have friends. We have colleagues who, if they do not hear the gospel of Jesus and surrender their lives to God and die in their sin, will one day stand before the white throne of God. Let's preach the gospel. 2 Peter 3 says, God is not slow like we think He is slow, but rather that all men may come to what? Repentance. Let's preach the gospel. But you know, one more thing that really hit me was this. This great white throne is to tell you that your works can never get you to heaven. They can never get you to heaven. Never. Never get you to heaven. It's only by faith in Jesus. Do you trust Him? Do you have faith in Jesus? May God help all of us in this room today not to experience the second death. May He help all of us. Because the second death is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But this is also the other beautiful news for everyone who is waiting on Jesus, is that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Let's read that for a moment. Okay, let's read that for a moment. 21, Revelation 21. So after all this, after the great white throne has been done, the earth, the old earth and the old heaven has been consumed with the fire of God. This is what it says. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Verse 18. The construction of its walls were of jasper. The city was of pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. The second foundation was sapphire. The third, chalcedony, that one. The fourth, emerald. And it goes on and on, telling us of all these amazing things in there. Let me tell you, the new heaven and the new earth, it's going to be a beautiful place. I can't even imagine it, even from this description. And the Bible says, in that new heaven and new earth, there'll be no need for sunlight. You listen to this. Verse 22, Revelation 21. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Man, we will live in the fullness of the light of God's glory. We will live in a place where the streets are made of gold. I mean, gold is like the dust we see today. The new heaven and the new earth is a place where we no longer go to worship. We live in worship. We're not going to go up to some temple. No, we will live in the temple itself. The new heaven and the new earth is a place I hope every one of you here today is looking forward to. I really hope you are. May the grace of God keep me. May he hold me with his righteous right hand and keep me to the day that he takes me home. That I'll experience that new heaven and that new earth. But listen to this. I want to conclude with a portion of 21. I want to conclude with this. Listen to this very, very carefully. Verse 6 of Revelation 21 says this. And he said to me, who is this? The one who sits on the throne. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Are you thirsty for Jesus? Are you thirsty for God? And he continues to say in verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. You will inherit the new kingdom. You will inherit the new heaven. You will inherit the new earth. You will inherit the presence of God himself. And I will be his God. And he shall be my child. Wow. And all who believe, John tells us, he gave the right to be children of God. And that scripture will be fulfilled in its fullness in the new heaven. But then verse 7, 8 says this. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. If you fall in that second category, would you consider giving your heart to Jesus? Let him turn your life around, that you would inherit this new heaven and new earth. The very last words in the book of Revelation says this, the Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus, come. I hope that is the same for us here today. God bless you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message has inspired you to spread the love of Jesus. If you would love to know more information about us, please visit www.watotochurch.com.